Today, the 15th of May 2014, is the 66th commemoration of the Al-Nakba, or the catastrophe of 1948, displacement of the Palestinians following the creation of the illegal state of Israel. Now, to talk us through this and some of the developments in Palestine, we're joined on the line by Eloise Bollock, speaking to us live from Palestine. Eloise, greetings to you, good day to you, and welcome to the program on Radio Islam International.
Good morning, Youssef. I'm really glad to be on air today with you on Radio Islam from Palestine to talk about the Nakba, the commemoration of the 66th commemoration of the Nakba in Palestine.
Yes, speaking about the Nakba, how do Palestinians commemorate this event?
So usually we have different events all over Palestine, occupied Palestine and in West Bank, and in Gaza they're going to have other ceremonies. Actually, it started last night. We had a march inside of the city of Ramallah where people were carrying flames and keys which are a very strong symbol of the returnees to the occupied houses by the new Israeli citizen. So today at 11 in the morning, we're going to have a march, another march again in Ramallah. And usually Palestinians choose a place which is very significant for them, either like borders with the Israeli at the Israeli parted wall or by the checkpoints or by military prisons to march to, and to which eventually would go to clashes with the Israeli army, because the Israeli army is trying to hide what is happening, the right of Palestinians to return to their own lands and houses. So usually they start with a march and in the city center and march towards the checkpoint, towards the wall, towards the prison, and then clashes occurs between the young Palestinian and the army in Palestine. They usually have also like programs on televisions and radio to remind people what was the Nakba and which were the villages which were destroyed, and that they should never forget about what happened 66 years ago already.
Yes, it has been a tragic 66 years as things have moved on. While speaking about celebration, we also understand that on Tuesday, the 5th of May, Israelis celebrated their Independence Day. How this event was celebrated by the Palestinians?
Yeah, so actually in Palestine we celebrate the 15th of May, so today as the original Nakba. But as the state of Israel was declared by Ben Gurion in 48 on the 5th of May, so the Palestinians also commemorate. So in Israel, people, it's a holiday in Israel. The Israeli citizens don't work and they usually gather and have barbecue, and it's a very happy day for them. On the other side, for the Palestinian community, it's a tragedy. That meant the displacement, as I said, of more than 800,000 Palestinians that were expelled from their house. That meant the displacement and uprooting of more than 400 villages from 48 Palestine. All these people flee either to the West Bank, to Gaza Strip, to Lebanon, to Syria, and that's where we have all these refugee camps that we know nowadays. So actually, for every year, Palestinians organize a march in one of the villages which was destroyed in 48. This year, on the 5th of May 14th, we went to one of the villages which is called Lubia, which is up north Tiberias, so in the northern Israel. That village was demolished in 49, and I mean uprooted in 49, and completely demolished in the 60s. In between, Israel built a kibbutz on the land of the village, and that's the connection and the ironical part, and the connection with South Africa, is that two parks were built on the land of the village of Lubia, and one of the parks is a South African park that was built by the Jewish National Fund. And in 1985, a memorial was built in memory of 85 soldiers. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Continue.
Somebody tried to call me on iPod. So in 85, they built a memorial for 85 soldiers who were killed. Israeli soldiers from South Africa who died in the Arab-Israeli wars. So that was a commemoration. They planted trees in honor of all these people, but then the South African family discovered that this land was a stolen land from the Palestinians, and the South African family have refused to build on the land of the Palestinians, and now these communities, these 85 families who have found out that they built trees on stolen land, decided to come back next summer to apologize and make it out to the Palestinian families and do community service with the Palestinian families whose land was stolen in the village of Lubia. So I think actually it can be a good cooperation between Jews and Muslims as long as they are not Zionists. So Jewish South African, a part of the Jewish South African community shows their support to the Palestinians by refusing to plant these trees on the Palestinian land and came to like support the Palestinian community, and they're going to come here in Palestine next summer.
Yes, that is an interesting development and something that is important to highlight. We also understand that Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails launched once again an open-ended hunger strike since the 24th of April. What are their specific demands?
Yeah, once again, Palestinian prisoners went on hunger strike. That happened already like 2 years ago. We had a massive wave of hunger strikes. This time it started with about 100 Palestinian administrative detainees. They are not exactly, I mean, they are prisoners, but they haven't been sentenced, they haven't been trialed, there is no charges against these people. They are randomly arrested by the Israeli army or Israeli authorities because they are suspected of like terrorism actions or like supporting the Hamas or whatever political party that Israel is considering as terrorists. So these people would be arrested randomly at checkpoints, they would be arrested during night arrests or just driving on the road and the army would stop them and arrest them randomly. So 100 of these Palestinian prisoners started a hunger strike. Of the administrative detainees started a hunger strike about on the 24th of April, and then the prisoners, Palestinian prisoners who've been in jail for way longer, for many years, started also to join the operant hunger strike movement to support, to be in solidarity with these prisoners who don't have any rights. They have been jailed. They usually never see a lawyer. Some of them who are from the West Bank have been jailed inside Israel, which is against every international convention to displace prisoners. If you arrest a prisoner from the West Bank, you have to leave him in the West Bank. Israel keep moving the prisoners all the time, preventing them from seeing their family, because a family who lives in the West Bank is not allowed to go to Israel. They will never get a permit to go to Israel. So these are human rights violations that Israel keeps doing every single day, especially on prisoners, and that needs to be enlightened. That's why these people keep going on hunger strike for the international community to take care and to realize what is happening. But unfortunately, for now, it doesn't make a big change. Local newspaper, and I would say newspaper from the Middle East and or Muslim media outlets talk about it, but the mainstream media in Europe, in America, don't report anything about the case of these prisoners who are on hunger strike. Some of them went on hunger strike for over 100 days, and nobody has really pointed out. So it's very important to keep talking about the Palestinian prisoners, because there is over 5,000 Palestinian prisoners today in Israeli jail. And there is over 100 of them are detainees, administrative detainees, and over 100, another 100 are women. And another small 100, I would say 80, I don't have the exact number, but about 80 of the prisoners are children, which are under 15 years old.
Yes, so the international media continue with their selective coverage, only covering those issues which tie in with the agenda. Okay. We spoke to you on Radio Islam sometime towards the end of last year. In fact, it was in October. What is some of the major changes in Palestine during the seven-month period since we have last spoken to yourself, Alois?
Actually, so the change, it was not so many changes. Unfortunately, the situation is more or less staying the same. It's just even getting worse. Settlements keeps expanding. There is as much prisoners as it was 6 months ago. Even if if we have a few prisoner swap or some few prisoner freed, but actually if Israel releases 100 prisoners, they're going to arrest in the same week 200. So there is no changes in terms of prisoners. There is an expansion of settlements. They are taking more and more lands. So the situation is that the peace agreement fell apart completely because Israel is playing a game that is completely screwing the two-state solution. So the situation is unfortunately getting worse and worse every day, every week. Palestinians are completely losing hope. And the economic situation is really bad. Actually, since the peace agreement fell apart, Israel is punishing Palestinians and also international community with, in solidarity with the Palestinians by preventing us entering the country. But economically, Israel is cutting off all the funds because all the money that comes to Palestine comes through Israel, and Israel is stopping all the taxes, all the incomes that should come to the Palestinian authorities. So we cannot, the economical situation in Palestine is very, very bad, actually, currently. And the other thing that I would like to point out that I was just mentioning, that Israel is also so trying to prevent the international solidarity to reach Palestinians, to be in the field with the Palestinians. And lately, for the past months, and specifically since the peace agreement fell apart, Israel has been denying a lot of foreigners to enter Israel because Palestine doesn't have control on their border. We have to go through the Israeli borders to enter Palestine. And I had every week, at least once a week, we have a foreigner who lives in Palestine or works in Palestine with a Palestinian NGO who is denied entering the country. I had many of my friends, even journalists, who were prevented to enter Israel. A French journalist came here, and just because she has an Arab family name, I think she was coming on holidays, I'm not even sure she was coming for work, because she has an Arabic family name, she was detained at Ben Gurion at Tel Aviv airport for 4 days, and she was suspected of being a terrorist. They say that she has a profile to be a bomber, and they detained her for 4 days, and then she was sent back to France. Just because she has an Arabic family name. And it happened to many other people who don't even have an Arabic family name, but because Israel knows that these people will go to Palestine and are in solidarity with the Palestinians, so Israel is trying to prevent these people to be on the ground with the Palestinians to break down the Palestinian solidarity.
Yes, so it has been a tough time. Also, in terms of developments, we understand that you started working for an NGO, the Palestinian Children Relief Fund. Tell us about this.
Yeah, I started, since I came back, actually, in February, I started working with an NGO which provides free medical care for Palestinian children. It's actually an American NGO, but we are based in Palestine, and it exists for more than 25 years now. We have been helping Palestinian children by providing them free medical care, and we have been bringing doctors from outside of the country, specifically from America, but also from all over Europe, from Chile. We have a lot of doctors coming from Chile to do surgeries, very specific surgeries on Palestinian children in need, whom families are too poor to afford these surgeries. And actually, we have to bring doctors from outside because, unfortunately, because Palestine is under occupation and the borders are closed and Palestinians cannot go out to study and to improve their skills and to be up to date about the latest skills you would need for different specific medical surgeries, we have doctors coming from outside of the country to work with Palestinians. Usually missions come for a week. They screen cases the first day, and then they start for like a 5 week or six, seven, sorry, 5 days or seven, 7 days of surgeries in different specialties, medical specialities. And they also, at the same time, they do the surgeries, they train the local doctors about all the improvements that they have to be aware of to be able to do their work in the country. And if the surgery is too heavy, if we can't provide that surgery for the child in occupied Palestine, we will send the child outside of the country, either in America, in Dubai, or other country, to have a specific treatment to be healed. So we also developed the first cancer department, pediatric cancer department in Palestine, because it was no cancer department for children with cancer in Palestine, in West Bank. In Gaza, we're still working on it. And actually, an article was published recently in Al-Akhbar, Lebanon, which is a Lebanese newspaper. And the title of the article was, there is only 13 doctors for cancer in Gaza. So it is really necessary to improve the medical care in Palestine because people are suffering. There is a lot of needs. Since after the Gaza war, especially in Gaza, the medical situation is really bad. And doctors cannot be trained. They don't have the equipment they need. So it's really important to support the medical care and the health system in Palestine because there is a big lake and we really need to help them to improve their skills and to improve the equipment they have to save the life of Palestinians in general, and my NGO focuses specifically on Palestinian children.
Speaking about Palestinian children, how are the condition of the Palestinian orphans in the West Bank. Are most of the orphans in orphanages and well taken care of?
Yeah, the thing in Palestine is that the family in like most of the in the Middle East in general, the family is really strong. So even if let's say in Gaza after bombings, the parents that happened especially in Gaza because of the, all the wars and the bombing, so you had random killing and sometimes both parents who died. So but the family is really closed. The family are really close to each other. So orphans usually stay with the grandfathers, with the aunts, with different members of the siblings of the family. If that's not possible, if the family cannot afford it or support it, they would go to orphans. But most of the time, it's the family who is taking care of them. An aunt, an uncle, a grandmother, a relative, any kind of relative from the family would take care of the children. Because the family are really close to each other, so anytime a member is missing, a parent is missing, the rest of the family is going to take care of that child.
That is good to hear. In terms of food security in the West Bank, is there food security? Are people going to bed at night hungry because of lack of food?
No. We have, there is no hungry, we don't, there is no lack of food in Palestine. We are producing a lot. They are producing, especially up north West Bank, they are producing a lot of vegetables and fruit, which are really, really tasty and really good, way better than what you can eat nowadays in Europe and America. And also Israel is a massive producer, and everything is, a lot of products actually I imported from Israel to Palestine, to West Bank. So actually for me, I follow up the boycott. It's the BDS movement. It's a very important thing to boycott Israeli products. So when I go to the marketplace, I have to make sure that the product I'm buying come from Israel, from Palestine. Usually it comes from Tul Karem or Jenin area up north West Bank, where they have a perfect weather and conditions to grow very good and tasty vegetables. But a lot come from Israel. And actually, the funny thing, the ironic thing is that many Palestinians think that Israeli products, Israeli goods, are better than the Palestinian ones. So Palestinians, families would buy Israeli milk because they assume that the Israeli milk is better than the Palestinian milk, which is completely untrue, actually. The Palestinian milk is as good as the Israeli one, and eventually even better. But the Palestinians have this wrong idea that Israel is more developed than their own country, and Israel is more careful in terms of hygiene. So the milk in Israel should be better and cleaner and stronger in terms of calcium and other minerals than the Palestinian milk, which is completely absurd.
Yes. So in that sense, things are a bit better, but there's still the struggle for health care and for freedoms and to just be free citizens and to live a normal life. That continues. Aloise, so we've run out of time. We would have loved to continue chatting to you. Thank you very much for enlightening our listeners and putting them into perspective and highlighting the plight of the Palestinians. We'll continue talking to you in the future. Thank you for the coverage.
Inshallah. Shukran. Okay. Thank you so much. Have a nice day. And inshallah, we're going to speak again. Once.
You also have a wonderful nice day and continue doing the great work you are doing in Palestine, highlighting the plight of the Palestinians. This is appreciated by people across the globe. Thank you. Go well.
Bye. Have a good day. Assalam.
Wa alaikum salam. That was Aloise Bollock. I think it is a French journalist that is currently in Palestine covering the plight of the Palestinians. But that brings us on to 8 a.m. spot on time for the bulletin.